Welcome to the Human Hive Podcast, a show about people actively making a difference with, rather than for, each other. The Human Hive is an ever-growing network of individuals and organizations who want to do things differently, who want to change the world collaboratively, make a sustainable impact, and leave a lasting legacy. In every episode, we'll focus on one of the UN Sustainable Development Goals, humanity's collective call to action to solve the most pressing problems facing people and planet today. We'll share how people in our community are addressing those needs right now, and we'll also give you easy, practical, and inexpensive ways to move from wishing the world was different to making it different. This is the place to get started. Join us and join the evolution.
She found art when she was a little girl, wearing pinafores and bobbles in her hair, crying to excel at drawing. Falling in love with writing at first, short story, forever to be enchanted and enriched. Soul soothed by music's medicine. Breath taken away by extraordinary exhibitions. Laughing and crying at theatre's tales. As a little girl grew, art became more than love. Passion was ignited, all she ever wanted to pursue. Empowered by creativity, she found her voice. Seeing how she could be heard through visuals and words, understanding the power it could wield, breaking down barriers while building communities. Art brought her to an extended family, a place where she belonged, carving out space where she could be herself and find confidence in you. Her mind open, taken on an emotional roller coaster, she came to fully discover her truth. Parts of her that had been suppressed, moulded by others and just a little bit confused. But their warmth and support of her can only be described as beautiful as her transformation was. From fabric thrown on a studio floor sewn into an haute couture gown, she truly was one of a kind. Hello everyone, my name is Shanika Benjamin and I'm your special guest host for this takeover edition of the Human Hive podcast. As you probably heard, I'm a poet, I'm also a writer, a creative workshop facilitator and Croydon's first ever poet laureate. And listen to my poem, you may have guessed what we're talking about today. We're talking about art and culture, the missing sustainable development goal. And the question is, why? Why is art and culture missing from these goals when art and culture is a big purpose and a huge part of our life, am I right? So I was saying in my poem, art is medicine, art changes us, art enriches us, art feeds us, and there's so many things we can say through art, so much we can do through art, so much we can learn through art. So in this episode, we're going to explore the purpose of art and culture in our world, looking at how it can be part of our lives, how it can be part of society, but also how art and culture can fit in with the sustainable development goals. Can art fit in with the sustainable development goals? And us as artists, what part can we play? You won't just hear from me today. You're going to hear some pieces of art and creativity as part of a project that we're going to be talking a bit more about throughout this process. And you're also going to hear me speaking to some amazing, beautiful humans that were part of the project I'm going to tell you about now called The Complete Freedom of Truth. We call it TCFT for short. TCFT is an international youth-led project that uses art and culture to create a fairer society, create change and bring people together. And I've seen it enrich so many lives, and it's also changed my life. Without TCFT, I wouldn't be the woman I am today, the poet I am today, the leader I am today in my community. And in June, I was on the island of Portland in Dorset in the UK as part of a TCFT residency, which is when I spoke to the amazing guest that you're going to hear from throughout this podcast today. So this first conversation is going to be with Daniel, who is a young man from Eritrea. He's currently studying business at university, a very, very hardworking, brilliant man with an amazing story that he shared with us on World Refugee Day during the residency, which had us all in tears and feeling a lot of things. Such a powerful story, amazing, talented young man. We're going to be talking all about arts, culture, and some of these sustainable development goals.
Do the race, do the race, hey. Do the race, dance, do the race. I'm speaking and looking at the UN 17 Sustainable Development Goals. By 2030, they want to use these goals to achieve peace and all sorts of prosperity for people and the planet now and in the future. So there's a lot of goals, but I want to think about reduce inequalities first. That's one of them. Inequalities between gender, race, class. How do you think art and culture can help to reduce inequalities by 2030? Or can it?
It can influence people's, it can change people's minds. But obviously, yeah, I mean, art will influence the people's if they have option or opportunities. For example, in the UK, so you could do a lot of art to educate people's, to empower people's. But in different countries, for example, maybe there's no opportunity, anything for people to do stuff.
Yeah.
And that's different.
I like that, because I think, for me, art is about inspiring and empowering people and informing them. And you can do that to talk about things. Like right now, I'm very big on writing about what's going on in, I guess, predominantly black countries that aren't highlighted here in the UK. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they're black, so why should they care, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm writing a lot about Haiti, what's happening in Ethiopia, Kenya, Somalia, things like that. Just to inform people, that's a way of just letting them know because they don't know because the news isn't saying it. I think it can do that. But like you're saying, in these other countries, how can it change? Like, so you're originally from Eritrea.
Yes.
What is art like there? Do they use a lot of art? Is art encouraged as a career? What is it like there?
The system in Eritrea is quite crap.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really horrible. It's very limited what you can do. So that's the difference. Even the people are talented to share such an amazing work or, you know, skills, and they have got a lot to give. But if the land doesn't offer them or give them space to do that, it's pointless. So I think that's what I feel in Eritrea. So it's like talking in Eritrea is kind of pointless. But still, we've got one in common, which is the flags, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone, when they see the flags, it represents the whole peoples. In Eritrea, we've got Christian, Muslims, we've got about 9 tribes, completely different culture, different clothes, you know, different languages. So 9 different tribes. But the flag, just one symbol art that represents the whole United. So this is how powerful is art. Talking back to what you're saying about the black communities and stuff you mentioned earlier, in 2020, we have seen, I think, the Black Lives Matter. So the symbol was a guy with his hand. And so I think we have seen so many different platforms. So that's what that represents us, the whole black peoples and communities. That was like really powerful. At that time, we was very united.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that comes one art, and we all become really united.
So we've seen a really amazing simple from Daniel about how a flag can connect people and bring them together, which is a great metaphor for art of how it connects people and bring them together. And if we want to reduce inequality, we need to be connected as people. Just seeing people as people being unified together by a common thing, a common theme, which can be art, coming together with music, with flags, with dance, rather than focusing on our differences and being divided by our differences, we're coming together through art. And if art can do that, if it can bring people together, then why is it we spend so much time ignoring it, taking it out of education? Why don't we want to use it more, and why do we treat it as a fickle thing? We're going to explore some of that and more in my next conversation with the wonderful Elena, who is a brilliant young activist from Kosovo, currently studying psychology. We get into a really interesting conversation looking at some of the sustainable development goals that include mental health and education, among more. Let's get into it with Elena now.
getting into these sustainable development goals. What are your thoughts?
Well, I don't know if they're sustainable.
I mean, I look at them and I was thinking about 2030 and considering, especially now that COVID's made things worse, it's very interesting. What do you think art and culture could make them more sustainable or help the moving forward of them?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think it could. I think it's very culture, for example. I think it's very important to take in consideration the local aspects of it because it's so global.
Yeah.
And a lot of countries have different cultures, different, maybe even artistic ways to express it. So, I think like that would help out a lot if it would take more into consideration the local aspect of it.
Yeah, I think that's key because this is the thing I'm finding people talking about culture, everyone's so different.
Yeah.
And I think it's difficult with this global thing to think about, with everyone's different cultures, how different and intrinsic some of the issues are in particular cultures. Like, how do you undo that? Because even looking at gender equality, I remember being in Kosovo recently, and the misogyny there was insane. Like, do you change that?
Can I say just something? I don't know, and maybe some people are not very into like life sentences and stuff like that, but the domestic violence numbers have been so high, and I think it's for the first time today I got so happy. it's sad, but usually in Kosovo, when people murder women, sorry, it's a very tough thing to say, they don't get as much sentence. They just come out more violent, and finally a guy who murdered his wife got life sentence, and that's very powerful because we did so many protests that would happen, and I just felt like crying when I saw that because it kind of makes me feel safer in a way.
Yeah.
So it's all the bad news. Even this, it's not the best news maybe. It's just maybe a step forward. So that I was really happy that it was a sort of a justice happening there.
So that's interesting because some of the culture there is, not really high sentences for men who are doing these things.
Yeah.
So it's working to change that. And I'm thinking about quality education, how can art and culture help? Is art part of quality of education in Kosovo?
Yeah, that's very interesting. I was just thinking that today because when we do it, we do these activities in the project here, like everyone's singing and stuff like that, and it's so strange to me. I couldn't get used to it in the beginning because in school we don't do that. Like we don't really sing and we don't really connect like that. And I feel like for you guys it's much more natural. Like I could see it, it's not as awkward as it is for us.
Yeah.
I was just thinking we didn't really have that. We didn't really experience that. And how connecting that could have been and how easy and flowing. But it's not. Arts are a little bit neglected, I would say.
Wow. I love you said about the connection, because I think it really does connect you in a way. I've been in assemblies at school when everyone's just there, walking along, and it's like, you are part of that together. If you don't know the person, you're part of that together. Do you think having more focus on art would make a difference to the quality of education or how things work?
Of course. Because, also, the trauma from the war, it reflects every part of the country and every institution, and especially schools. Teachers can be traumatized themselves. Kids can have secondary generation trauma, third generation trauma, and there's so many research on how arts, doing different types of arts, singing, moving, can actually help you to reduce the effects of trauma that it has on you and ways to manage it. So I could think how nice that would be for kids in Kosovo to have more of that and actually explore it. It would be such a nice thing.
Yeah, it links to the goal of good health and well-being. I think it's such a key thing. I know a poet called Fiske who says poetry is therapy. Therapy didn't work for him at all, but poetry is his therapy. I know a friend of mine who uses sport because, again, traditional ways didn't help.
Yeah, I think that what research now right now in psychology is showing is that it's not just trauma or you have like mental health problems. It's not just in your mind, in your brain, and you have to talk about it. It's good to know, be aware of your emotions, mm-hmm. name them, and actually know how to process them. But except from that, a lot of trauma, a lot of emotions is stored in the body.
Yeah,
and you need to move around. You need, we're made to run, to have fun, to sing, mm-hmm. to dance. It's very natural for us. So it's actually a very natural and healthy way to incorporate it. Whatever works for you, though.
Yeah, that's very key. I love that because I know I feel better when I go for a walk, when I write. So what is stopping, I guess, more, I think actually around the world, really, yeah. more people really using art in school or using it for well-being or just realising the importance of it? What do you think stopping that from being the case?
I genuinely, it's a good question. I think I might need a minute to think about that. Let that sink in. Yeah, I don't know, like in Kosovo, I might speak about Kosovo context.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, I actually did art therapy week last year because my organization that I work for too, like it's the Center for Social Information and Improvement, and we also do art therapy week.
Nice.
And yeah, we started doing it with some kids, with grown people. Like the adults are very, very more they don't want to really do it because it's like in Kosovo, if you're drawing, you have to be really damn good at it. Otherwise, if you're just doodling or doing whatever can make you happy and remove the stress, it's just like you're not good at it. Leave that behind. Or singing and stuff like that. It's like very for people who can actually do it. That's like the general image of arts. Also, it kind of sometimes feels like a privilege because we don't have that at public schools. We don't have that. We have like music schools, but they're not usually that good. I was in guitar for 4 years and I still don't know how to play it. So, yeah, you have to go like to private, and it's more expensive. So it's kind of seen like a privilege. It's kind of like I think like we will. It would actually help us heal, but like I feel we need some time to heal ourselves and the view that we have on art, especially, so it could actually be incorporated into our daily lives and especially in schools.
I love that. And what you were saying as well about the privilege, it, in a way it kind of just increases the inequality or it really highlights the inequality that there is, and it stops people from knowing what they possibly could do, because even if you're not great at first, you can develop and become great at something, like the chance of doing that.
Yeah.
And it also opens up doors, because you being involved in the arts is what's brought you over here to the UK, and it's really key, I think, for, I guess it's about the connection, helps with, I guess, justice and a lot of these goals, being able to travel to different places and to meet different people and to learn about different cultures. It's really important.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely is. Like, it makes you reflect on the way you live.
Yeah.
And how others live and, like, rethink it a little. Yeah. So it's, I think it's key.
I'm just really trying to get there.
The sunshine,
daytime, filled with hope, growth every hour. We are humans in full power.
sunshine, yeah.
Summer vibes in May time. Don't you worry, cause everything is alright.
Sitting in the city singing songs about the daffodils that are blooming. Sitting in the city singing songs, bass out here booming. The rhythm of the people is turning around. Just chilling and jamming. Just chilling and jamming.
Hi, my name is Mia, and this is the Women's Anthem, a collective piece written in Kosovo by female artists. My birthday, my rule, my curse show my truth. No clothes, no truce, to live is to be, but I am a woman. I can climb, rise so rough, each step my own, each breath, crystal statement. Each voice echoes the one I own. I can become the stars my hands don't reach, become my own ideas and dreams, an example I'll claim to be. During our stay, a few girls from our group were catcalled in public, and after sharing their experience, some of the leaders, male and female, reprimanded and dismissed their encounters because they should know better. This caused a general discomfort, mistrust and anger, as it was confirmed that there was no cultural appropriation. Catcalling is wrong regardless. So this anthem emerged to contest all so far absent voices. I chose these words as they represent me, curvy, powerful, fighter, a woman. Yet, when asked about why I choose, but I am woman, it is for the prospect that until now being a woman is a disadvantage. I want to be able to, in a few years, change that phrase to, and I am woman, as an equal. After the anthem, the male reaction was much more positive and appreciative. It allowed those who were unaware to understand and to some extent experience our fight. Art provides that. It enables to voice our opinions, to share our stories. It only takes for one to stop and listen. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much, Mia, for sharing and for bringing us together to create and be part of that amazing women's anthem in Kosovo. Nine of us women speaking our truth, singing that powerful chorus. It was such an amazing, special moment. It really was. So thank you, Mia, for being brilliant. Mia is a recently finished and soon to be graduating international relations student. And from one international relations student to another, my next conversation is with Eduardo, who is a real enthusiastic, creative powerhouse doing many brilliant things. We get into it speaking about a number of the sustainable development goals and art and culture and how if it can feed into it. I hope you enjoyed this conversation as much as I did.
So let's talk. No poverty, zero hunger, clean water, sanitation. I mean, these are big things. Big things that I would say shouldn't be big things. They should be things that everyone has. People shouldn't have to live in poverty. People should never have to be hungry. People should never have to worry about clean water and sanitation. It's a basic human rights. What do you think us as artists and, you know, journalists and things like, what do you think we can do to kind of contribute and help in any way?
There is so much help. Mm-hmm. There is so much things that we can do, but instead of like individually as a community, I believe just by breaking a little bit this sense of otherness, because I think it automatically makes a differentiation between people in power and people not in power, or privileged people and not privileged people. Mm-hmm. When I think when there's an interaction between people that have been through really non-privileged situations, or people that have been through a really tough context.
Yeah.
When there is like the interaction between these two groups, is when you break the otherness, mm-hmm. this sense of differentiation, is when you realize that they are not, for them, is actually human beings that can be you perfectly.
Yeah.
You know. As a well, the question was how can, as a citizen, how can we help? And I think the best way is to feel the need to actually change it.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
Try to spread the need.
Yeah.
Around it. In normal conversation, in this conversation.
Yeah.
Having dinner with your dad, if he's not, I don't think this concerns something,
yeah.
try to bring it out. In the most simple daily situations,
yeah.
in the supermarket,
yeah.
try to bring it out. It's fine as well.
Yeah, I definitely feel that. Like, I remember speaking to my dad, we had dinner one time last year. And he's very much reads and news and stuff. And he told me about what's going on in Tigray in Ethiopia. And I didn't know. And I appreciate conversations like that. Because I'm like, thank you for letting me know. It's made me more aware of looking at certain things. Not always too much, because obviously to protect myself. But my mental health, I was just like, wow. And that inspired me to write a poem. I was just like, if the news in the UK aren't speaking about it enough, apart from when it's like, we have to pull out UK people from Ethiopia, leave now. That's the only time they're going to put it on the news or a headline. And I was like, I need to be saying something about it, because this is too important not to say anything about just effectively genocide happening and this horrific civil war, and now plunging this country into a humanitarian crisis when they've done so well for themselves, and now they're in horrific famine and dealing with drought on top of that. It's sad. That's when you have to have the conversations to share other people, and then you can create art to share that, and it goes wider. And that's when I think artists come into the situation.
Literally. And that comes again to the main idea of communication. I think if you're not able to change the problem, at least spread awareness, you know?
Yeah.
But again, it comes back again to the idea that maybe we are putting someone's words in their mouth. Maybe they don't see the need. As in, I think it's the UN. The only problem with the UN Development Goals is that we are generalizing a problem and trying to impose a moral good things on societies that maybe they don't need it, or they don't see the need. Or
yeah.
We talk about poverty, but we also talk about mental health. We talk about security. We talk about, but maybe there's certain societies that they don't see the need to. Look for these things. I mean, these are priorities, which is totally fine.
Yeah.
Or maybe they have their own approaches. Or maybe they have. So again, who are we to tell you that you're poor and you need to be helped?
Yeah.
Sometimes again, it comes a little bit like superficial. Like, there's these things that we need to implement in these places, but maybe these places, or maybe the way that that works in my country is not the same as in your country,
yeah.
or is in the UK. Even in local societies, I think we need to empower the local communities to foster their own goals or their own approaches in their own way.
Yeah.
I think it's really dangerous to try to generalize an universal. I mean, or universalizing is never good.
Never a good thing.
Yeah.
Never a good thing, because no one's uniform. And I think we're saying about empower them and get them to realize, again, art can do that. You have the conversations with them, or you get them to paint or draw, or anything you use to get them to kind of think about what is your most need and how can we do it to help you. There's that way people feel more comfortable. Sometimes just having a formal conversation, people can be a bit like, just like you're asking,
yeah.
you're actually asking me now, and I don't want to say anything. And that's like, I think, a really good way of maybe making things a bit, I don't know, not simpler, kind of a bit more at ease. Something just to ease people into it, and it is empower people, so I like that. So how can we speak out and make awareness of what we don't always understand and experience? How can we raise awareness of something as a way of making a difference if we can't tangibly make those changes or help ourselves? Art is a great way of raising that awareness, of communicating, of making links from different groups of people to another. And that was one of my aims when writing this poem, I Won't Forget You, to raise awareness for others, but also in a way for myself, for what is happening in
Ethiopia, something that is not being spoken about enough in the UK. So I wrote this poem after that conversation with my dad at dinner last year in May. This is I Won't Forget You. Your existence unknown to me until yesterday. Now I won't forget you, T. Grey. Unique name. Tasty on the tongue like hot infused liquid indulged. What you're going through, anything but. Not how I would have liked our introduction to be bitter rather than sweet, not to be held against you. Famine already doing that. My final conversation is with the lovely Abaidor, who is an amazing young man from Syria who is currently an IT trainee with the charity CRAN, which stands for Kent Refugee Action Network. And we have a really interesting, thought-provoking conversation about art and culture, particularly in relation to the Sustainable Development Goal of peace, justice and strong institutions. There's some real gems in here, so get ready for them. Hi, Obi.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
Good.
Good, good, good. Art and culture. What are your thoughts on it? What's the purpose of it?
What I think about it is culture without art is not a culture, is
it? Oh, I like that. I think I like that a lot. Yeah.
For me, like, I've seen so many cultures.
Yeah.
And, like, every culture has something unique, something, yeah, like, belong to it. Yeah. That's the art of it.
Yeah.
So that's why what makes it so unique.
That's beautiful. It is so beautiful. So thinking about art and culture in terms, in regards to peace, justice and strong institutions, three very big kind of terms, really. How can art and culture fit in with those or serve those?
Art and culture, like, I would say, can make the peace, because if you have culture, and of course if you have culture you had, you know, you use art and you use this art like to create the space you want, you know, a quiet space to have peace.
Yeah.
So it's related to me, like, you know, art and culture to peace, especially to peace. Yeah, like. For example, I'm Muslim here, and when I was in Jordan, I found my peace whenever I pray.
Mm-hmm.
So pray is part of my culture, my religion. And
mm-hmm, yeah.
So whenever I pray, I found this peace, like, and it was amazing, and I'm still, like, still having it.
That's so lovely, because if we do, well, people can forget that religion is part of culture. It's interesting. I love asking people the question, what is culture? It's always so many different, yeah, things. And religion is part of that. And it is, I also find peace and prayer is a really, really nice thing. And peace is definitely, I think, you can achieve through art and culture. I find a great level of peace if I'm just, like, sketching and drawing. How do you think it can, like, contribute to justice? Because we're living in a world with a lot of injustice. To bring more justice, how can...
Yeah. Well, I asked myself, like, this question before. Like, how can culture and art, you know, bring justice to the community you live in, to the world? And I believe, like, if someone follows the culture, like, his culture, he wouldn't do anything bad, anything, yeah, harm people, because this is your culture, this is built from, like, you know, generations back then, like, and without this, you know, culture, your generation wouldn't have survived. And this is what I think about, you know, justice. If you have culture, justice is, like, part of it. Because if you have culture, like, that will help you support the others and make it easier to you.
I like that. I really do like that. I think often the issue is we kind of... like division as humans, like, obviously, yeah, we're all different, it's a wonderful thing, but we have division, and division between cultures leads to more misunderstanding between cultures, which leads to more injustice and all these like horrible things that happen, it leads to more war. As we can see, war is so prominent. It's hard to find peace. It is really hard to find peace because it is just easier to fight. It is easier to not understand because understanding takes a lot of time and giving of each other, really.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so for me, it's culture, like, I would say belonged, you know, just as belonged to culture, because, again, part of, some cultures are part of the religions, you know, around the world, like Christianity, Islam, and more.
Yeah.
So part of my culture, my religion, is like to give the poor people money so they can afford the life they live. So that means I have stopped someone from stealing from others by giving him money. And same thing, I think, with the money cultures, which is really help, you know, stop the war and things like this. And as you know, money wars have like begun because they're not finding the freedom, they're not finding the peace they want in the country. And as you said, like, it's an easy thing to do war, but it's quite a difficult thing to find peace in it.
Yep. Wow. Difficult to find peace in it. That is powerful. I think a lovely way to have our conversation. Thank you so much for taking time to talk to me and being so insightful and amazing, making me just look at things differently. I love it.
Well, yeah, I would say... I used to look at things differently, like, you know, in a bad way, but some of the lovely people I met made me think about, you know, others and other cultures and like completely changed my view about others, and from there I started.
Change view about others.
Yeah.
That's the way everyone talks to people, when you change your views, and I can say that's the truth because I definitely feel the same. So thank you, Obi.
No, thank you.
You've been awesome.
Thank you.
Woke up this morning feeling kind of low, with no energy to put up a show, hoping that someone would bring back my glow and make my soul at home. Here's my shoulder, you can lean on me, take my hand, come and walk with me. Here's my shoulder, you can lean on me, take my hand, come and walk with me.
You're not alone,
no Kevin.
You're not alone,
no Kevin.
You're not alone,
não estás sozinho.
You're not alone,
não estás sozinho.
You're not alone,
do it.
Solo.
You're not alone,
you must be solo.
Here's my shoulder, you can lean on me. Take my hand, come and walk with me. Here's my shoulder, you can lean on me. Take my hand, come and walk with me.
You're not alone,
non sei da solo.
So to all of you out there listening, you are not alone. We are united by music and dance and painting and food and all the amazing, delicious things that make art and culture part of our life, that bring them to life. So if you see someone out there, give them your shoulder, let them lean on you, because we are all part of the human race and our differences make us beautiful. So let's let them unite us and not divide us. I want to give a huge mega thank you to the amazing, beautiful humans who help bring this podcast to life. Daniel, Elena, Mia, Eduardo, and Obi, you guys are just awesome. to all the other amazing people from TCFT, especially those involved in the music, the songs that you heard, the absolutely awesome facilitator that is Zangi, and the phenomenal, talented Beats Across Borders team. Those songs are such a vibe. I love the songs. Thank you so much for the creation of those, and such a great way of showing how music can enrich us, how it can bring people together, break down barriers and build relationships. Really the perfect example. And as we have heard regularly throughout the podcast about the importance of art, of what art and culture can do, the question still remains, why is art and culture not a sustainable development goal? Because of the differences that it can make. Us as artists, apparently we can communicate with speaking out, with helping people work through things, with a different way of looking at education, which just shows that art shouldn't be taken out of education as it often is. Art and culture shouldn't be often defunded. It should be given the care and nourishment that it needs and deserves for our lives, because art does enrich our lives. Think about your TV shows that you watch, the clothes that you wear, the restaurants that you eat out at, the theatre shows you go to, the music you listen to. This is all art and this is all culture, and they all extremely important and they deserve that care. So just one thing I will leave you with today is, don't diminish art and culture. Don't ignore it. Don't step on it. Think about how you can nourish it and show care. If you've got a child who wants to go into a career in art and culture, don't ignore them or look down on that. Encourage them. Think about ways that they can make money from it, because you can make money from it. It's not easy, but it is rewarding and you can do great things. Think about an organization maybe, or a charity who work in art and culture that you can donate to or support or help fund, an artist that you can maybe fund on their journey who is maybe creating that awesome piece of work that will make a real difference in the world. And think about how you can create art as well, how you can get creative. It's not all about creating a masterpiece. Thinking about how you can express yourself, how you can say what you want to say in your own way, how you can communicate with others in an artistic way, which can at times say more than just words, or can say more than maybe an essay. Just think about how you can do that, because I've seen in TCFT the difference that art and culture can make, but I've also seen it through the platform and organization that I ran for 5 years, Young People Insight, which is all about empowering young people through creativity, conversation, and writing. Put on monthly poetry nights so people could go and share their poetry and monologues and spoken word on stage, develop their public speaking skills and their confidence in their art, and just speak out on things that are important to them.
Caught on camera, but yet you're set free. That's that white privilege, evidently. Look how we prosper despite the battle, and how we can unbreak the shackle.
We talk about a variety of topics that are important to young people, ranging from concept of race to gender identity to relationships to sex to careers. All these things young people were passionate about and were important to them. We spoke about, and I just saw their confidence grow, people sharing stories and relationships forming from these conversations and events, which is a huge thing.
Stop adding to your struggles. Instead of dividing ourselves into categories by melanin or ends, let us unite and multiply. Let's be fruitful from now to the end.
Such a simple concept, but it's such a huge thing in the lives of many young people, by them growing in confidence, growing in self-esteem, learning about each other, and it really did enrich my life as well. So I have seen in these two things and many others that I know how art and culture can make a difference and change lives. So also just go and check out what is around you in your community, what is using art and culture, the difference that it is making, and see if you can support them in any way, because they are often under-resourced and underfunded and they need support from more of us so that they can keep making a difference, so that they can enrich the lives of others and really enrich our societies and communities, because art and culture makes more of a difference than you can ever imagine. It's been a saving grace for me in so many times. I struggle with self-harm, and having poetry really, really did help me. So thank you all for listening today. I have been Shanika Benjamin, your special guest host for this special edition of the Human Hive podcast, looking at art and culture, the missing SDG that really should not be missing. Where you go, man? Do the race. Hey! Do the race. Dance. Do the race. Hey! Do the race.
breeze. I can smell the sea, refreshing on my skin. The beat is in my feet. The wind is singing songs, blowing through my head. Whilst we are all here, making memories to share.